time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
It is episode, I think, 157. Is that right? 157 episodes of the Vintage Truth Podcast, now in 58 different countries across the world with thousands listening every week. And it's a total God thing. Hey, listen, if you have not signed up for my newsletter, you need to go to jeffkinley.com right now. And in the right-hand column there, you can sign up for my newsletter. I am not a spammer. I don't send out, you know, four emails a month or whatever. I might do 12 newsletter emails per year, okay? Occasionally, I'll give special updates and that type of thing. But, you know, I don't like to get a ton of emails from people, even if it's from someone I like. So I'm not going to do that to you. So go to jeffkinley.com and sign up for that newsletter. Also, if you'd like more information about how you could have me come into your church or to your group and to speak on a variety of topics, depending on what you're interested in, I'd be happy to do that. Go to jeffkinley.com and click on the contact tab. And you can just send a letter of or note of inquiry just saying, hey, well, what would it look like? What would you speak on? Or these are our needs, or, you know, which of your books would you talk about? That type of thing. And I would love to do that. I'd love to come to churches and speak and just to be with people and answer questions and to fellowship and that type of thing, because my heart is all about equipping believers with God's vintage truth. And that way I get to do it in person and not just through a podcast. So if that's something that is interesting to you or to your pastor, please pass on my information for that. Hey, on this podcast today, we're talking about a subject that is very unpopular today in the church, and it's the subject of God's wrath. You know, we love to talk about God's love and how nice God is, about how gracious and merciful He is, and He is all those things. In fact, I'm going to address that in the next podcast. But God's wrath is essential to us understanding who God is. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if we're just really, really nice to the world, if we'll just love them, which we should, but if we'll just do that to them, then they'll like us. And guess what? They'll, with open arms, accept our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is not always the case, folks. In fact, Jesus Christ was the most loving, giving, kind person who ever walked the planet. Did more good for people than anyone else, and they crucified Him for it. They forsook Him. The crowds that were there on Palm Sunday were not there chanting for His release on the day of His execution. In fact, many of them were likely a part of the crowd that was chanting, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." So, you know, it's not just about being nice to the world, because, you know, if people really knew what God was like, they would run from Him, because our sin nature feels threatened when the topic of God is brought up. And any person that would come to Christ without feeling that sense of that threat of self-rule, I don't think really understands the gospel. Because the essence of salvation is recognizing our sinful state and our undeserving love from Him, and that we need a Savior, that we're not okay without Him. And so this whole idea of God's wrath really highlights that. You say, well, Jeff, why would you want to talk about God's wrath? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons. I'm going to tell you why, some things about God's wrath and reasons why you need to know about His wrath. The first of all is the fact that it exists, okay? The wrath of God is not just some ethereal concept. It's not just something we made up to scare people or something like that. It actually exists. And the reason that it exists is that it is a part of who, it is an essential component of who God is. I mean, God is wrath. He is love. He is sovereign. He is infinite. He is immutable. He is immortal. He's all these things. But He is also wrath. Now, why? Why would God be a wrathful God? Well, you have to begin with who God is and the essence of His holiness. You see, God is without sin, which doesn't just mean that He never does wrong things. Okay, that's not just what God being without sin means. It also means that in his essence, he is completely separate from sin. That's what the word holy means. It means to be separate, to be cut apart and set apart. And he's separate from sin. So the essence of God's character is that he is without sin. And because of that, he cannot tolerate sin because it's an offense and an affront to his character. So God's holiness really is the core of what emanates out is his justice and his righteousness. And part of that is the execution of his righteousness, which is his wrath. You say, well, wait a minute, what does that wrath mean? Well, let me define it this way. To say that God is wrath simply means that he punishes sin and unrighteousness. Now watch this next phrase. With holy and just anger. God's wrath is not God flying off the handle, as we used to say growing up. It's not God having an outburst of anger. And in fact, the word wrath more often in the New Testament simply means a settled anger. It means something that takes a long time to build up. God is not someone who has a knee-jerk reaction. His reaction is based upon his character. So it's a holy anger and wrath. It's a just and right and righteous anger and wrath. In fact, the prophet Nahum wrote in Nahum chapter 1, he wrote that our God is a jealous and avenging God. And because of that, the Bible tells us that he actually created a place where that wrath is going to be meted out or is going to be administered. And in Matthew chapter 24, we get a little bit of a backstage pass into seeing, you know, kind of how that came about. Matthew 25 and verse 46, Jesus said, he says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go away into eternal life. Now, earlier in that same passage, Jesus has said this. He was talking about the judgment of the Gentiles here. He says, and then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, it's talking about the judgment at the end of time. And, you know, originally, I mean, of course, we're speaking in human terms here from human chronology, but originally that hell or this place of torment was created for the devil and his angels, because the devil and his angels were the first to sin, were the first to commit sin against God. But in time, of course, mankind sinned, and now they have to go to that same place. Now, there's a whole lot about hell. To me, that's a separate podcast, you know, I could do about all that is hell and what it entails. But suffice it to say that the essence of hell, the essence of torment, the essence of what the Bible later describes in Revelation, and that'd be chapter 14 and also in chapter 19. It talks about the lake of fire, which is the ultimate punishment. It's what hell becomes eventually, the lake of fire. You know, people say, well, is that a literal fire? It was the big debate. You know, is that a literal fire or is that just a figurative fire, a metaphorical fire? Here's the deal. Anytime there are words that I take it to be literal. However, it's more literal than our literal fire. In other words, it's much more intense than fire. Anytime there's a symbol, if you say, well, it's a symbol. Anytime there's a symbol, that's always a representative of something that is greater and that is real. So whatever the fire is, it is the wrath of God. And it says in Revelation chapter 19 that the beast and the false prophet were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So you just simply say this, that an infinite, all-powerful God could certainly create a place that would burn and that would burn with brimstone. Now, a couple of the quick things to know about this place called hell, and we'll get back to God's wrath here in a second. This place called hell, it's described as a place of the wrath of God. In fact, in Revelation chapter 14, beginning verse 9, it says, another angel, a third one, followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength. You want to talk about strength? God's full strength is his wrath. In full strength, in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So a couple of things that you need to know about this awful lake of fire, this awful place, is that it's not some separate place where Satan rules. Okay, this whole cartoon idea about Satan being in hell and demons tormenting you in hell, people say they've had visions about that. Not true. Simply not true. Because the Bible says is that God is the one that administers hell. He's the one that manages hell. He's the one that rules over hell. Satan is simply an occupant of the lake of fire. He's not ruling over anything, either now or then. So that would be one thing. The second thing in Revelation 14:11, it says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image and whoever received the mark of his name. So another thing we could say about hell is that there are no pardons in hell. There's no reprieve in hell from God's wrath. So once God's wrath falls upon a person in the afterlife, that's it. And it says they have no rest day and night, 24/7 for eternity. They're suffering under the intense torment of the wrath of God. Say, okay, so Jeff, what does that wrath mean? Well, as I said earlier, it is the anger, the holy and just anger of God. Now, where else do we see this in the Bible? Let me give you a couple other scriptures here. Psalm 45:7 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness." People say, "Well, you shouldn't hate people, right? But you should hate wickedness." You know, Paul wrote in Romans, abhor what is evil, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So yes, there are things we should hate. Should you hate sin? Should you hate child abuse? Should you hate rape? Of course you should. You should hate all those things. Hate is a good thing when it's hating the right things, right? So Psalm 45:7. Let me give you another one. In Psalm 7 and in verse 11, the psalmist says this. He says, God is a righteous God, a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. So here's what you need to understand about the attributes of God. God's attributes are not different hats that he wears on different occasions. You know, sometimes you'll go to, like sometimes I'll go to an event or to a wedding, whatever, and I'll ask my wife, is this a coat and tie deal? Or is this a business casual deal? Can I wear jeans? Can I wear a blazer with a tie, a blazer without a tie? What am I supposed to wear? Do I wear, you know, some sort of hat, this thing? That's not the way God is with his attributes. He doesn't put on attributes when he needs them, okay? He is eternally and continuously all of his attributes. Wrath, mercy, grace, love, sovereignty, infinity, immutability, justice, you know, omniscience, omnipowerful. He's all these things at once. He doesn't change these type of things. So God is a righteous, righteous judge. How about Romans chapter 2, where Paul writes to the Romans about this whole thing. And this is what he says in Romans 2 and verses 8 and 9. Scripture says this, says, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what do they get? Wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. Okay? So there's a judgment that awaits people, and that judgment is the wrath of God. What about Hebrews chapter 10? And verses, beginning verse 26 through verse 31 says this. It says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. So he's saying this. He says, if someone continues to be unrepentant and they do not turn to Christ, eventually what awaits them is, it says, a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. And so, you know, it's a serious thing to make light of God's offer of salvation. It's not something to play with. It's not like turning away the salesman at the door or clicking delete on the, you know, the spam email that you get because you simply don't want it. No, God says it's a serious thing. And he says anyone who rejects that, it says, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he has been sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And again, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And then finally, he just says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a terrifying thing. God's wrath is to be feared. God's wrath is to be avoided. And let me tell you something. That wrath is not only excruciating torment of the soul, worse than any physical pain any human has ever felt. It's not only that. It's the wrath of and just wrath of God that torment, that pain, but it's also separation from God. And those two things are the things that Jesus Christ experienced at the cross. He experienced the wrath of God, which included the separation from God. Because the wages of sin is death. Death in Scripture means separation. So being a sinner means we're separated from God. Being a sinner in hell means we're forever separated from God. So everything that is remotely connected to God and to good is gone from that person's existence. Life and light and peace and hope and comfort and love and companionship, all those things are eradicated from a person's life, and they're in utter black darkness in this lake of fire, and they're separated from every person, and they don't know any sort of relief or rest or, worst of all, hope. And so that is part of the wrath of God. So, well, is that really, you know, a just and fair recompense just for rejecting Christ? Well, listen, you have to understand who God is. If God was just a man, then you would say, well, that's not fair because, you know, man could come around and say, well, I didn't mean it, or yeah, you can get out now, or whatever. But when you offend the righteous character of God, that tells you how serious God takes his righteousness, that you can either receive his pardon or you can receive his punishment forever. And so God is a wrathful God. All the things people talk about, oh, God was a cruel God in the Old Testament, that kind of thing. And people talk about the things that God did in the Old Testament. Guess what? He did every one of those things. But worse things are coming in the future. Worse things are coming when Jesus Christ returns in Revelation 19. The Bible says he slays millions with the word of his mouth. He obliterates people on the spot. He's going to be a conquering king with the tip of his robe dipped in his enemy's blood. And so there's going to be wrath there, wrath there. Then afterwards, there's going to be wrath in the lake of fire. And so you say, well, okay, so how does someone respond to this truth about the wrath? Let me give you a couple of quick things. Number one, because God is wrath, we must thank him that he vented all of his wrath towards us on his Son at the cross. Because of that, the Bible says, we will never, do you get that? We will never face his wrath, ever. There's not a drop or an ounce of wrath for those who have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says in Romans 5:1, we are justified by faith. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:35-39, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. So we have to thank God. And the second thing it teaches us is that we should also hate sin and revere a God of vengeance like this. We should have the same hatred towards evil and the things that go against the righteousness and justice of God as God does. Because the more we align ourselves with his mind and with his values, the more we're going to see the world the way that he sees him. So is God a wrathful God? You bet he is. Is he finished venting his wrath on sin? No. That lasts forever and eternity. So don't be one of those who fall under his wrath. Be one of those who accept the wrath that fell on Jesus Christ and cling to him for salvation and for mercy. Next time I'm going to talk about the incredible God of grace. Don't miss it. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.